I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. Last week, at about 3 in the morning, armed Israeli guards entered 25 empty apartments in a Palestinian neighborhood of Jerusalem. It's the biggest Israeli takeover of homes in the area since Jews began moving into the neighborhood 2 decades ago. The move caused tensions to rise between Israel and the U.S., tensions that were already pretty high after the war between Israel and Gaza. But this story also has everything you need for a juicy thriller. Shady real estate deals, shifting alibis, a mysterious murder, all in the context of the wider battle for control of the holy city of Jerusalem. Reporter Daniel Estrin has our story.
This is what most visitors experience when they come to the neighborhood of Silwan, the City of David Archaeological Park. There's soft harp music and a golden harp statue at the entrance. Tour guides shepherd groups through the ruins.
The square you see over there is a tower was built by King David.
This is the most ancient part of Jerusalem, where Jewish tradition says the biblical King David established his capital. The Israeli nonprofit Elad that established this archaeological park also buys up Palestinian homes here, with the goal of this neighborhood becoming majority Jewish. When 25 apartments here were occupied in the middle of the night last week by Israeli guards, the Obama administration accused the settlement organization of stoking tensions. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told CBS's Face the Nation that he was baffled by the criticism.
Some Jewish residents of Jerusalem bought apartments legally from Arabs in a predominantly Arab neighborhood. And this is seen as a terrible thing. If I said to you someplace in the United States, Jews cannot buy apartments here, there'd be an uproar.
So wait, the White House says a settlement organization bought the homes. The Israeli Prime Minister says it was Jewish residents of Jerusalem. Who bought these homes and who sold them? This is where things start to get shady. Ask around the neighborhood and people mention one name.
Farid
Haj Yahya. Residents say he bought up many of the apartments that were later taken over by Jews. This woman, Anan Baydoun, says a few months ago, Yahya came knocking to make a proposal to her son. He introduced himself as the head of an Islamic charity and said he wanted to buy one of the family's properties to turn it into a hostel for Muslims from around the world coming to Jerusalem. The son liked the idea, and in July, he sold it to the man. Next thing they knew, armed Israeli guards had entered the building. I went to go check it out.
Hello, anyone home?
There's a large Israeli flag hanging near the door. People peered down from the roof, then disappeared. A few minutes later, a woman came out, and I asked her if she lived there.
There's nobody who lives here living here now.
Okay. So what are you guys doing here, just cleaning up?
Yeah.
Okay.
She says she was there doing some maintenance. Families haven't moved in yet. In the meantime, armed Israeli men are inside the homes guarding them. The Elad Settlement Organization says it didn't purchase the 25 apartments. A private American real estate investment company named Kendall Finance did. An Israeli lawyer for the company said it will be renting them out soon. What is this Kendall Finance? Who owns it? Where in the U.S. is it based? The lawyer did not respond to questions about the company's identity, and an internet search turns up nothing.
Hello.
So I called Farid Haj Yahya and asked him if it was true what residents are saying, that he bought all those apartments in question.
It's not true. Basically, I have purchased one apartment, and that was months ago.
So I asked him about the Baydoun's family apartment and another home, too. And he changed his tune. He said he bought 6 apartments, not one. So how did the apartments become occupied by Jews?
It's a good question. I'm also confused because in Silwan...
He said he sold the apartments to another Muslim man. He also said that Baydoun's son sold the family's property secretly without telling his parents. He said that son and others must have sold the homes to Jewish settlers years ago and tricked him. He denies he was the secret broker on behalf of Jewish settlers, but his explanations kept shifting.
Something is fake here.
Yesterday, a man whose family's home was sold to Jewish settlers was knifed to death by relatives in the middle of the street. And another woman, Bushra Mohammed Adel Khayat, whose apartment was also occupied last week by Israeli guards, says she and her father fled the neighborhood and her aunt advised her to stay away.
I told her I want to come. She told me, no, don't come. They will hurt you. The neighborhood will hurt you.
A neighborhood activist I met in the street says he's certain Bushra's father sold his property knowing it would end up in Jewish hands. He said the neighborhood is planning to publish a list of all the culprits when residents gather the evidence. The battle to create a Jewish majority in Silwan has created another battle, pitting suspicious Palestinian neighbors against each other.
That was Daniel Estrin reporting from Jerusalem. Now, this is obviously a small piece of a really big story about what's happening in Jerusalem. So Daniel is with us to step back a little bit now and tell us what this snapshot of life there says about the tension overall in the Mideast. It is a wild story, Daniel. What are the wider implications here?
Marco, we're talking about a very slow, methodical battle to shape the character of Jerusalem, which is one of the most complex and conflicted and fought-after cities in the world. The Jews who buy homes in this neighborhood want it to become majority Jewish. The Palestinians who live there don't want a single Jew living there. We're talking about a very sensitive area right near very holy sites for Jews and Muslims. And this is a saga that's happening home by home, day by day, family by family, and the character of this city is changing.
And what's wrong with everyone just living where they want to live?
It's a great question. The answer should be that there's nothing wrong, that everyone should be able to live where they want, no matter what ethnicity or religion you are. That's what the Jews in this neighborhood are saying. The Arabs in this neighborhood, the Palestinians, say that this is a more nefarious effort to push them out. And when you have a city that's internationally recognized as in dispute, it's very hard to answer the question of where do people belong? I think the bigger issue here is that there's no one shared vision of what this city should look like. Should it be a city for both Jews and Muslims, for Arabs and Jews, for everyone to live where they want? Should it be a divided city? Who gets to control it? In absence of any kind of shared vision, it's just a battle over who has the money to buy the real estate.
I mean, I feel like those questions you were just asking, I feel like I've heard them a million times. Is this just more of the age-old narrative of Israeli-Palestinian tension, or is something else going on?
I think what is missing from the headlines is exactly this story. And yes, it tells the same trope, the same battle over this city and this land. But I think this story reveals, you know, the very shady, mysterious battle that is being conducted property by property. I mean, it's all legal. The homes aren't stolen. They're bought. But it's done with a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's done in back rooms. It's done with a threat of death by the Palestinians who sell their homes. And so I think this is the kind of story that we don't hear about. The drama isn't the bombs exploding in the streets, but it is the very real drama that's happening day by day, and it's changing the character of the city.
Daniel Estrin in Jerusalem, thanks for digging in a little deeper for us.
Thank you, Marco.